This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Pete's Coffee and Tea, celebrating the season with Holiday Blend Coffee and Holiday Breakfast Blend Tea at Pete's retail stores or on the web at Pete's.com. And a grant from Cotton Cloud Futons, a locally owned business featuring futons and mattresses, frames, covers, furnishings, and accessories which can be made with organic and recycled materials. Cotton Cloud is located at 701 Northeast Broadway in Portland. Information at 503-335-0758 or cottoncloudfutons.com.
Today is Monday, January 9th, 2006, and you are listening to More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste.
Good morning.
And today we wish you a happy new year. We've been off of the air since last year, and we have returned.
Yeah, since way back last year.
A long time ago. We hope that everyone had a good and relaxing few weeks and holidays, and things went well. And we have a few announcements before we begin our program formally this morning. First, for many of you, you may be aware that about this time, 15 years ago, the U.S. invasion of Iraq began in 1991, following President Bush's, the first President Bush, call for invasion, the U.S. invaded Iraq. Since that time, the war has continued, both hot and cold, following the cessation of the initial war. It was followed by several years in which the U.S. continued to make sure that the citizens of Iraq did not receive goods that they needed. So it was a low, intense war, and it continued most recently when President Bush II invaded Iraq. Having said all of that, let me suggest to you that the Gulf War, 15 years later, rally in March, will be held on Friday, January 13th from 5 to 6 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square. You are aware, many of you, of the weekly Friday rally that has been going on for a number of years. This rally will remember and recall the beginning of the Gulf War 15 years ago and certainly urge for peaceful resolution of this conflict. This is co-sponsored by the Peace and Justice Work, Iraq Affinity Group, Portland Peaceful Response Coalition. Again, this will be held Friday, January 13th at Pioneer Courthouse Square in downtown Portland. Speakers chant, and it says here, dress for the weather.
Yes, and don't be hesitant just because it's Friday the 13th, considered an auspicious day. I have an announcement here from the Healthy Birth Initiative, Women's Health Education Groups. It meets on every fourth Wednesday, and there are child care and transportation options. You need to register, however, by the 23rd of January by calling 503-988-3387. That's 503-988-3387, extension 29343. It's free and open to the community. The topics range through a number of issues that affect African Americans and childbirth and health, and it's an opportunity to learn more about how to take care of yourself and your children. The January topic is breastfeeding and nutrition, and it takes place Wednesday, January 25th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Lowe's and Fish's, located at 5325 Northeast Martin Luther King Boulevard. For those of you unfamiliar with the area, it's right behind the health clinic. It's over there on the health clinic. There's a little alley that runs right behind there, and you'll see the front door. There's ample parking available. For more information, you can also call KBOO's front desk.
And those are some of the announcements we have for you. Let me remind you that if you have announcements or concerns of the community, please feel free to send it here at KBOO. Our mailing address is 20 Southeast 8th on Portland, Oregon.
And make it attention community calendar, and please allow at least 2 weeks for us to get the information. Bear in mind that everything doesn't make the community calendar because we do receive such a large amount of notices, so that if you are really concerned, you might contact the programmers that run programs that are analogous to your event and have it in their mailbox to receive and read.
And so let us begin our new year, our new adventure with you by welcoming you to More Talk Radio. This is an engaging conversation with you, the community. Part of the mission of KBOO Radio is to encourage community involvement. One of our goals in this program is to share information one-on-one with each other. For all of us are sources of information, and as we continue to share our insights and our thoughts with one another, we help to create a healthier and better community. So today, Celeste, what's on board?
Well, with pleasure and minimal fanfare, it's kind of an open forum, but not exactly. We do have some specific topics, but the thing is, you get a chance to pick the one that you want to discuss. Overarching is 2005, what occurred? Now, the first thing I want to ask people to consider as part of our topics is think about the person, the place, or places. Now, we'll limit it to place. Person, place, activity, event that you think most typifies or describes the attitude or the milieu of 2005. You can do it locally, you can do it nationally, you can do it globally. So, for example, if you were really concerned about, say, the fact that a lot of our natural lands have been swallowed up, you might want to talk about the fact that for 2005, Tryon Farm, buying the land was a big thing to you because it was going to preserve a vast natural wilderness here in our area for posterity. You know, if there are people that you wish to discuss that did something really noteworthy, whether it's good or bad, for 2005, you can mention them. And so that's part of what we're going to talk about. The other thing is I got some interesting recaps of the year on Diversity Inc., which is an online magazine on diversity that I get. I think they also have hardcover. They sent out some interesting emails about the top 10 diversity stories of 2005, part one, and then people who passed, pioneers who passed in 2005, and some of their achievements. I also got from MSNBC.com. Don't laugh. I mean, I get emails from everywhere. Everywhere from, from surgeoners, salon to,
MSNBC.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're on Hotmail, you're going to get it. So, you know, it's not like I didn't have anything better to do. It just popped up and I said, sure, if you give me good stuff, I'll take it. Of course, you might have to hit the delete button quite a bit. But and then Arianna Huffington, I get her HuffingtonPost.com. She was a former guest here on More Talk Radio. Was that 2004, perhaps?
2004, I believe.
I believe it was 2004. But she also has 2005 Things I Want to Forget. And some of these were just really interesting and good for a chuckle and good to make you think about how important it is to be politically active. So we're going to have a little bit of conversation and recap.
And so if you are interested in being a part of this conversation, we invite you to give us a call. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Again, those numbers are 503-231-8187. It's an opportunity for you to share what are some of the important marks, persons, or events of 2005 and share with your other listeners some of those insights that you have to share.
I'm so glad you said other listeners. This is one of the things I thought was really funny. They came out of this words not to use in 2006.
Yes.
And this was the MSNBC. My goodness. See, sometimes you have to question why you need all these letters here. There was a comment here about the list of words and phrases banished from the Queen's English for misuse, overuse, or general uselessness. And this is from Lake Superior State University. They released their list. And they do this from time to time. I think it's kind of interesting. There was a gentleman out of Orlando, Florida, named Miguel, who really said he was fed up with the phrase first-time caller, a designation heard on talk radio. And he says, and I quote, "I am serious in asking who in any universe gives a care." Well, we do give a care. So here you go. If you are a quote-unquote first-time caller, if you are really, you know, thrilled with the fact that you finally broke down and you called, or you broke through and you called, tell us. We don't care. We're happy. We do care.
We have several callers online, and before we go to the caller, if you are a so-called first-time caller, let us know. But also, I want to know the 972nd time caller.
Yeah, and who has kept track?
Yeah.
Have you? You got your little clicker there?
Let's see.
Okay.
Well, let's go to our callers. Good morning, caller, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Okay, well, we'll go to the next one while we shift gears here.
Good morning, caller. Thank you for joining us.
Okay, I think we need to throw the hands up and the kick is not good,
our numbers,
gesture here.
Our numbers are 503-231-8187. We're having a small problem, but continue to dial.
Don't continue to dial. Continue to hold your own until we can get it together. In the meantime, you are listening to your community connection, KBOO Portland. It's 90.7 FM in the greater Portland metropolitan area. Doesn't that make us sound profound and big? And if you're something like that, huh? If you're in the Columbia River Gorge, Hood River, White Salmon, Washington, it is 91.9. In the Willamette Valley, it is 100.7. And on the web, KBOO is a KBOO.FM. You can tell your friends. You can send the link. You can point and click and listen. Join in.
And let's see if we have our callers online.
But try your call again or contact.
Well, we have somebody online, but it wasn't who we wanted. It was the operator.
But I think this person is online. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I forgot. Oh, yes. I agree with that first-time caller designation thing, but it's a small thing, no big thing.
Yeah.
One thing that bothers me is it seems that it's accepted English now to say, where is he at, or, you know. Everybody says it, you know, and I remember as a child that was the worst thing you could do.
Oh, my goodness. You know what my dad used to do? He used to say, behind the at.
Right.
Daddy, where are you going to? Behind the two. And, you know, when you're a kid, that does just frustrate you. You don't have a clue.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. We have bastardized our language to the point where it's accessible. But, you know, if you're not a native-born speaker, is it really accessible? Do we really know what we're talking about?
Yeah. Anyway, the thing that most outstanding, for me, not only outstanding, but outrageous occurrence has been the installation of death squads and mercenaries mm-hmm. in New Orleans, documented and witnessed by the citizenry. And you never hear absolutely anything about it. I can't believe that you all on your show, who have mentioned it once, I think.
Death squads? I'm afraid you got me at a disadvantage here.
Well, do I have you at a disadvantage when I mention the mercenaries? Because they are actually the death squads.
Okay, well, yeah, you do. At mercenaries as defined as death squads, you kind of got me lost, but I do want to hear. So.
Okay.
If you could briefly tell us a little bit about it.
Are you familiar with the fact that the government installed private security firms, the same ones called contractors who were in Iraq? Some of the actual contractors who worked in Iraq transferred to New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that?
I have heard that some. I have heard it. I haven't heard it. What's the word I'm looking for? Verified?
But
I have heard it.
Amy Goodman interviewed them on her morning show.
Okay, well, I don't always catch it, so thanks for telling me about it.
Absolutely nothing that I know of has been done about it in terms of investigation and publication
mm-hmm.
On the part of Cable, except for the Amy Goodman piece that I heard. Perhaps there was someone else, and I thought I called and mentioned it to this show once in the morning, and you said you had mentioned it once. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, to me, that's the most outrageous thing, especially with all that's going on regarding wiretapping and this thing and the other thing. People don't, they're still like the frog in the slowly heating water,
mm-hmm.
it seems. And especially for people of African descent living in this country, I don't see how they can't be outraged by that. You know, but I said especially, but it should be everyone.
It should be everyone. That's what I was thinking. Right. Everybody should be upset.
Well, yeah. You know, I think it's really important for you to mention this and to make sure that we continue to be aware of this. And let me suggest a couple of things that I think might be helpful for all of us. You share this with our program. Let me invite you to also share with our news directors.
Right.
Our AM news director is Kathleen Stevenson, and our evening news director is Lisa Loving.
Mm-hmm.
They are always looking for stories, and we have a mostly volunteer news crew here. So you are part of that news gathering
ensemble field. And, yeah, the group.
So please give them a call or contact them, and we can make sure that more people hear about this and that the larger audience is aware of this.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for your call.
And we'll go to our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Am I on?
You yeah. are.
Let mm-hmm. me shut my radio down here.
Yeah.
Just brief nominations for personalities of the year, and I'm sure I like your idea because there's so many. In the spirit of Rosa Parks, I would say Cindy Sheehan.
Yeah.
And also Mr. Jack Abramoff. And There's so many, and I'm sure there's some local people here.
Well, but, tell us briefly why Cindy Sheehan and why Jack Abramoff.
Well, just to me, they're very memorable. And Abramoff here, just because he's been last, I guess. You know, I'm sure there's going to be somebody to succeed him. But he's been very much in the news, and just listening to the kind of shenanigans that are going on. And then there's this kind of countercurrent that, well, it's business as usual. This has always gone on. This is the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. What do you think about him coming forth and saying, okay, I did wrong, and forgive me?
Well, I think the prosecutor had a hammer lock on his arm.
And, didn't have any circulation.
I hope he sings the arias very well.
Well, I'm glad at least that he decided that this is the time to give up the fight and stop perpetrating. You know, so many of them go down to the very end with, I didn't do it. Don't know what you're talking about.
There's an army of fellows in the rear, or ladies and men probably, and behind him ready to take his place, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, at least we'll have a temporary period here of ethical prating.
Exactly.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're listening to KBOO Portland. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. We're taking calls for people to suggest their persons, places, or things of significance in 2005, both good and bad.
That's right.
And we'll go to our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning. I would like to recommend a documentary film from last year.
Okay.
I had a chance to see at the Film Center, the Northwest Film Center, yesterday, which played this weekend, and I was happy to say that yesterday afternoon it was almost a full house, which I rarely see there. The film is called The Power of Nightmares, The Rise of the Politics of Fear, and it was made by a producer from the BBC. And the gist of it is that it spends over 2.5 hours examining the parallels between the American neoconservative movement over the last 50 years and the international Islamic fundamentalist movement, and really busts open a lot of myths. And I just thought it was fascinating and packed full of loads of information.
And that's playing at Cinema 21?
I hope that somebody does pick it up for an extended run. This was only this weekend at the Northwest Film Center.
But
I don't know if it's available for home viewing, but I certainly want to let everybody know about it because I think it's got a lot of valuable insight on the histories and the parallels and how both of these one of the things that both of these movements have in common is that they capitalize on the politics of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And they are both of those movements really working hard to convince us of things which are not necessarily true.
Excellent. Well, thank you for the recommendation.
Thanks for the opportunity. Good day.
Good day. You know, if people were willing to do a search, you might be able to find some information on this. This sounds like it could be put it on the stacks or possible More Talk Radio. I say possible because we got a stack.
We do have a stack.
We have a stack. And sometimes things don't work out the way we'd like them to with the guests that we hope to get. But maybe this one will. But at any rate, I do want to encourage people to go see the films at the Northwest Film and Video Center. I did an internship there, and I can tell you there is no better gym here in Portland in terms of independent films, in the terms of enlightening and broad topics for films. We don't have any better gym, I think, than our collective of independent theaters, and you should take advantage of them.
Well, let's go to our next caller. Good morning, caller, and thank you for waiting.
Hi.
Good morning.
I mostly wanted to comment on the previous caller who was talking about death squads in New Orleans. I believe that he's referring to the Blackwater Security Group.
And
that this actually somewhat touched on the mainstream media, but it was one of those things where it was acknowledged but quickly brushed over, almost you know, neo-censorship style, to where a story's commented on once and then it can be pointed to and said, oh, well, you know, we don't have censorship in this country. We just, you know, re-report on it once, and that's more than enough.
Right.
This is definitely, definitely an issue that needs to be looked into more for a variety of reasons. As far as them being death squads, I would definitely need to see more information before I would slap that label on them. I mean, guys are likely being used that way in other countries, but for to say that been death squads used on American citizens is a pretty charge, and I'd want to see some more evidence. However, I certainly don't dismiss that possibility, because I think it's quite clear that the Bush administration has no respect whatsoever for the law or the Constitution, and it's also clear to me that they want to install a dictatorship, quite frankly, at some point. I mean, Bush has been quoted in the mainstream media multiple times before he was elected that it sure would be a lot easier if this country were a dictatorship, assuming he was the dictator. So people really need to, look at the Bush administration quite seriously. I mean, not that people aren't, but, I mean, these guys are no longer interested in democracy and politics as usual. So it's the Blackwater Security Group, and I definitely think it bears looking into more. And I'll take your comments off the air.
All right. Well, thank you for your call and clarification. With regard to both callers, not being in New Orleans, I'm loath to say it's one way or the other. Though you do hear stories that have come out, not only of the orders to shoot to kill any looters, which would give credence to the fact that it could be quote unquote death squads. I mean, shoot to kill sounds like an order for death to me. But then there's also been stories coming out of law enforcement abuse of citizens. So we kind of just have to do a little bit more research. There's a lot of thanks to Amy Goodman for having done the show and done the piece on it. And we should, as the both callers say, be a little bit more vigilant in perusing our news.
Well, one of the things that the caller touched upon that I think is a significant issue in 2005 and 2006 is the reemergence of the imperial presidency. Today begins the Senate confirmation hearings for Samuel Alito. Some of the issues that will be addressed are certainly the hot-button issues of abortion, but also in terms of his thinking about the role of the presidency. As the last caller mentioned, the president has taken the stand that he has imperial powers, and Judge Alito, in his past, has written and advocated for an imperial presidency. So as we talk about some of these issues and talk about the tensions and talk about the president spying on American citizens, these are all significant issues of 2005 and things we need to be aware of in 2006. Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and we'll go to the next caller. Thank you for waiting.
Good morning.
Well, good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Okay, a couple of things. First of all, on the positive, I would like to thank the Honorable Louis Farrakhan for organizing the Millions More March and for finally seeing the problem for what it is. And the problem is all of us, so-called working class people, are really all in the same boat, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Our skin tone is insignificant. We are all disenfranchised, and we all have to hang together and make a loud statement to the government of the United States of America that the treatment of Afro-Americans, Hispanics, Native Americans, and poor whites are unacceptable in our culture. All right.
Okay. Now, you said positive. Is it more positive or is something negative you also want to
point out? I would like to put a spin on Mr. Abramoff, and I've been kind of doing Mr. Abramoff's family tree and his money and his influence. And Mr. Abramoff's influence in our government, especially our Congress, is unbelievable, right? When I used to live in the ghetto many years ago, and I would walk into the kitchen in the night at night and turn on the light, the roaches would scatter all over the place. And now it's as if the light has been shined on the roaches because they're scattering. As you may or may not know, George W. Bush gave a $6,000 donation to the Heart Association because this is the direct contribution that Mr. Abramoff gave to Mr. Bush's campaign. Mr. Abramoff is also one of Bush's pioneers. He gave Mr. Bush $100,000, all right? Yes. Now, George, if you're listening...
And we know he is. Or
and we know you are. What were you going to do with the 100 grand? Tryon Farms needs 20, so why don't you just toss him the 100?
All righty. Well, thanks for your call.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
And you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the city. We were talking earlier about some of the people who will live on, whether in infamy or close to our hearts. And one of the people that I wanted to kind of celebrate was a man that I got to meet, and his name was Arthur Fletcher. And for those of you who are really familiar with your history, you know that Arthur Fletcher was a government official often referred to as the father of affirmative action. And he served with Nixon, Ford, Reagan, and George H.W. Bush administration. Now, that might sound like a contradiction in terms, but you should really do a search on him and read about him, and you will find this is a man who was deeply concerned about the inequities of opportunity, not only for black Americans, but especially for working class Americans. Arthur Fletcher, who passed before us.
And his passing is symbolic of the passing of a breed of Republicans known as moderate Republicans.
Not just moderate Republicans, but those who actually reached out and tried to be, what is the word I want, enjoin all of us, engage all of us.
There was a point in time when the Republican Party symbolized that type of inclusiveness, but that time has passed.
That time has passed.
Our numbers are 503-231-8187. We want your insights of significant events, persons, or places in 2005. We'll go to our next caller. Thank you for waiting.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. I'd like to respond to the brother who called about the Blackwater organization,
mm-hmm.
Who said he was very familiar with the reportage, and especially with the Amy Goodman show, and I can't believe that he didn't recall a part of the incident where Amy Goodman questioned him about a particular activity, and he voluntarily said that a gang of, what do you call them, black street gangsters, or something like that. Using the term black to describe them, had taunted them from a freeway thing overhead. I think he said had fired upon them also, maybe. And that they returned the fire, a very heavy fire, and Amy Goodman asked him, did you kill them? And he said, well, there was silence after we unloaded on them. You know, if that isn't the behavior of a death squad group, I don't know what he considers such behavior to be. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your call and clarification. You know, I believe you can find some of these broadcasts online. I think they're archived. I know that for those of you who have access to satellite radio, cable, or satellite dish television, you can get free speech television on, and you can also capture some of Amy Goodman's programming.
Might they also be archived on the web?
Well, you know, that's what I said, on the web as well, as satellite, if you got them. If I didn't say on the web, most definitely you can get them on the web. But you are listening to KBOO 90.7 here in the city, More Talk Radio, and we're live, and we're also streaming on the web as well. Anybody that you want to note, or any activity or event? Or?
Well, you know, I'm just fascinated by what we've heard this morning. Sydney Sheehan certainly was a significant person in 2005 in terms of how she and maybe also Representative Jack Murther mainstream the anti-war movement, or the Bring Home the Troop movement, in a way that that the mainstream media heard. The significance of that remains to be seen. One group that I would also have on my list is for their strange silence is the National Democratic Party. It seems when the Republicans are imploding, the National Democratic Party remains unable to take advantage of the opportunity to offer an alternative voice.
You know, I wished I could remember where I read this particular characterization of the Democratic Party. Somewhere along the lines, they got the parts of the Serenity Prayer backwards. Mm-hmm. And instead of understanding the things that they can change and accepting the things they can't, it seems that the Democratic Party is attacking and trying to address, rather maybe than attack, the things that they can't change instead of being really proactive and insightful and working on other issues. But, you know, it's funny. I'm just going to say I'm an armchair observer, because who knows, once I got in the trenches or the heady atmosphere of the Beltway, I might be a stupid. I don't know.
Well, you know, I saw something a few days ago that what's-his-name is thinking of running again and for president.
Which what's-his-name? I'm scared to hear it.
The Democrat who ran last time.
Okay. The one who made that really gutless capitulation speech?
I voted for the war before I voted against
the
war.
War.
And I voted
for the war.
War,
yeah, but I did it in a kinder, gentler way.
And also the junior senator from New York is also seen as a front runner.
As a contender? Watch her go head-to-head with Condoleezza.
That will be interesting.
That would be...
With two conservatives...
It's possible now, this talk of her being groomed for the presidency. A couple of alternative presses, Diversity Inc., I think, was one of them. And it might be the BlackCommentator.com have spoken about her gaining popularity. So who knows? As Bush is going downhill, Condoleezza is coming up. Somebody else that I wish to note who passed before us was Shirley Chisholm. And she represented New York's 12th Congressional District from 1969 to 83. And in 68, as a Brooklyn native, she became the first black woman elected to Congress. In 72, she was the first black woman and first woman to make a serious bid for the presidency of the United States. Speaking of...
I think that's significant, because as we look as potential candidates in 2008, mm-hmm. Let's look back to 1972, and Shirley Chisholm's bold move to
Very
run
bold.
For president. And throughout her career, she remained someone who spoke her mind. Many times I disagreed with her, but I appreciated her ability and her independence. And as we look at so-called leaders today, I wish we had the bold feminist leaders such as Shirley Chisholm today.
Well, you know, I'll mention another bold woman. Her name was Mary Dunn.
Yes.
And nobody knew when she was born, because she didn't want to talk about her birth. But she was a member of the Western Shoshone tribe, and she was an activist and a leader in the movement. And she helped recover millions of acres of land that belonged to the Shoshones that was seized in 1863 treaty. And she was just revered for being able to stand up and bring forth the land that had been rightfully theirs and basically make the United States honor its treaties and its obligations and commitments to Native Americans.
Again, these are significant people who made an impact in our lives, some heard and some not heard, but in terms of their impact on communities, they will be remembered. You are listening to KBOO. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. This is More Talk Radio.
And we encourage you to make your call. Now, you know, even though I open it up with that seeming salvo of if you're a first-time caller, hey, we love first-time callers. You know, we like it when people are able to break free and step out and make that call, whether they're shedding anonymity or finding the time to express their views and share their perspectives.
Well, I want to encourage those people to call.
Absolutely.
And also, maybe we can come up with a new phrase for people who call, who have not called.
Who have never called a talk show before. I don't see anything wrong with first-time caller. Well, we have a caller who is online right now, and I'd like you to turn your radio down. I hear that little spaceship noise in the background. And good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. I turned my radio off, so I don't know what that is. I'm hearing you clearly. My name is Leah.
Hi, Leah.
Good morning. I'm a KBOO supporter, and I was delighted to hear about the film, the documentary that had played at the Northwest Film Study Center. I received a copy of that from a woman in England over a year ago.
Mm.
I do have copies of it, and one of my goals is to get it out into the community. It's apparently when she watched it, she said it changed my life, and she begged us to get it out into the American community. So if people would like to have a copy of it, to purchase a copy to get it at a reasonable cost just for copying, or would like to arrange a screening of it in a home or a church or whatever, you can email me and I'll give you my email address. Is that okay?
Yes.
That's perfectly.
Okay, it's mm-hmm. Leah, L-E-A-H maka@hotmail.com, and I will respond to people and we'll arrange them because there's a couple of us who've been really wanting to do this, so I think it's one of the things that we really need to get out. So
excellent
information. Okay.
Oh well, before you go, I want to suggest that if you haven't contacted, I believe Richard Beer over at Hollywood, and then there's I can't remember the man's name that runs the Cinema 21.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll give them a call because they do screen a lot of local and independently produced films.
Okay, well, this was produced by some video producers in England,
mm-hmm.
and they showed it on the BBC, and she said they were showing it all over the country. She said it was just incredible.
Excellent. That'd be right up their alley.
Yeah,
so, yeah, give them a call.
Them. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
This is what community radio is all about.
I know, man. Isn't that a thrill?
Okay. That movie is called, I believe, The Power of Nightmare, The Rise of the Politics of Fear. And if you would like to purchase a copy, you may email Leah. I'll give you the email address, leahmaka@hotmail.com.
And she said she's got it for a reasonable price, so that means that it's probably quite affordable. And also, I did hear her say that you could arrange for in-house screenings. So please take advantage of this opportunity. You know, some time ago, I cannot remember the author, but we had an author on who talked about the hijacking of catastrophe.
Yes.
This is the kind of both media manipulation and psychological manipulation that you find here in this time and place that we're living in. And it's not new. It's not new. It's called propaganda. But the fact is, the more you are expectancy to keep that vacuum open so it sucks in the next person, you know, to create that space.
Go ahead. Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and certain people who have left a lasting impact and legacy, we ought to celebrate and acknowledge. But perhaps you have a person, place, or thing of 2005 or a wish or desire for 2006. Give us a call. In the meantime, we'll go to our next caller.
Hello. I didn't mean to call in because I have called before, but when you mentioned that Anne Rose Pierce, I didn't know that she passed. And could you tell me when she did pass? I didn't know that she passed.
I think it was last month. I know they had services last month.
I had no
idea. In the beginning part, I think, of December.
I'd like to speak to how she affected my life just quickly.
Certainly.
I had listened to her program for a long time. They changed my shift to Tuesday nights, and so I wasn't here. I hadn't listened for a long time, so I didn't know that she had passed. I had gotten a pen pal from her, and it had been a struggle with this particular pen pal, and she encouraged me to try again, and I tried a second one, and the second pen pal, prison pen pal that she had given me, I've had now for 3.5 years. And this woman who was getting out, she's been in prison 24 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
okay.
It was a very serious thing. She's getting out in 5 months, and we've bonded. I've never met her. I can't visit her.
Mm-hmm.
But I write her 2 to 3 times a month.
Mm-hmm.
And she's changed my life. She's brought insights to me that I've just on my own could never have seen. And Anne Rose Pierce, off and on, when I would speak to her, was so encouraging and so so loving, so caring for the underdog. And I just wanted to say amen to respectfully honoring Anne Rose Pierce. She was wonderful.
Well, thank you so much for your call.
Sure.
And for the memorandum. It, you know, again, as I said, it's not a joyful occasion all the time to lose people that we care about. But in looking at how this is a community chance to share information, we see how someone was able to reach into those who were incarcerated and then reach into our hearts and make that really primal connection between people, you know, and to be able to help folks to nurture those who probably went without nurturing quite a bit in their lives.
And as our last caller shared, how one person influenced her and she influenced another person, and people connected with one another,
right.
Building community.
That's beautiful. Well, in memoriam to many people that have come and who have passed, but they have not passed in vain. They have left us touched and hopefully better in our lives.
Well, let me remind you that coming up this morning at KBOO at 9 is the OMOL Variety Hour. At 10 is Health Watch with Dr. David Naiman. He will speak with Ellen Cutler, who's the author of Micro Miracles, Discover the Healing Power of Enzyme. She uses enzymes to treat allergies and asthma, fatigue, chronic pain, and many other ailments. At 10:30, Glenn Anderson discusses which vegetable seeds can and should be started January through March.
Okay. They're not collard greens, just so you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, those are a staple. Come on.
At 11 is Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman.
All right.
And 6 p.m. is Labor Radio, and a look at what's likely to be on Oregon ballot in November.
Okay. So stay tuned, because we are your community connection. More from the words not to use in 2006. And this was the Lake Superior State University list of words and phrases banished from the Queen's English for misuse, overuse, and general uselessness. Mm-hmm. Even though it sounds like it's tongue-in-cheek, as one of our callers said, you know, there's a time when we want to look at our language and keep it lively, relevant, and precise as possible. Precise language is not necessarily something to be viewed as the tool and the environment of the hegemony or the ruling class or the elites. sometimes we should look at it in terms of how it communicates more effectively and creates a clearer vision of our intent or our desires. One of them that I found really interesting, that's a phrase that they think needs to be banned, comes from the field of education. It talks of community of learners, which is not to be confused with school. Now, the way I see it, it doesn't have to be confused with school, because, for example, the people who listen on our program, as we share information with each other, we are a community of learners. We learn a little bit more about our world and each other every day. So it does have some relevance, but knowing the media and their penchant for finding a buzzword and hammering it down into our psyches, you might want to hunker down and not be part of that that general group that finds issue with community of learners. And speaking of hunker down, that's one that they also targeted. They said it's been used by media to report about everything from politics to hurricane survival.
Hunkered down.
Hunker down. Okay. Yeah, I'm a hunker down. You know, I have this picture of somebody, you know, like kind of stooped over, you know, and kind of like that. What was that position that they called it when you were supposed to protect yourself from hurricanes and nuclear war, which was totally useless, by the way? You know, get down on your hands and knees and put your duck and cover. That's it. Duck and cover. That's what I was thinking of. Man.
Well, you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste. We are sharing thoughts of people, places, and persons of significance, both good and not so good, in 2005.
I like that. 95?
Wow. And hopes and aspirations in 2006. One person that I would like to mention is, his name is Fred Korematsu, who challenged the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II. He was the son of immigrants, and when the Roosevelt issued Executive Order 9066, which ordered the Secretary of State to require all Japanese Americans in military area number one to report to the internment camp, almost nearly everyone complied, including his family. He refused and fled. He was later caught, arrested, and convicted of violating the military order, and eventually sent to the internment camp in Utah. With the help of the ACLU, he appealed to the U.S. Court of Appeals and eventually to the U.S. Supreme Court. On December 18, 1944, in a 6-3 decision, the court held that compulsory exclusion, although constitutionally suspect, is justified during circumstances of, quote, emergency and peril. Later that year, a federal court in San Francisco returned the conviction, stating that the government case at that time had been based on false, misleading, and racially biased information. Korematsu remained active in civil rights issues, speaking out against parts of the Patriots Act that he felt violated the rights of Arab Americans. In times like this, when the President of the United States claims imperial power, we need more people to follow the example of Fred Korematsu. Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and we invite you to give us a call.
Mm-hmm, indeed. Don't be afraid to be a quote-unquote first-time caller, you know, or 100,000th caller. The idea is to share, communicate, and this is kind of like our open forum recap of the new year. We've talked about words maybe that we ought not use in 2006, and we've talked about people who have passed in 2005. And then there's some moments that I think we might want to just note that live in infamy. The whole situation around Hurricane Katrina, from the way the weather reports were heated and catastrophic event plans were put into place, to the politics and the comments that came afterwards. There's a few of them. Actually, there's a lot of them. You can go anywhere from the way that Barbara Bush, First Lady, was saying, well, this is really working very well for the people here.
Really,
this is doing better than they had before. or her brilliant son, tongue-in-cheek, saying, I don't think anyone anticipated the breach of the levees, you know, to Mike Brown, who was saying, if you look at my lovely FEMA attire, you'll really vomit. I'm a fashion god. You know, this is really interesting. All the way down to Kanye West, who's saying, you know, Bush don't care about black people.
You know, and Mr. West,
actually, he made it. He revamped a song for that.
Right.
He revamped a song for that. And you know, there were many people who, many black people who were down in Louisiana that felt pretty much the same way.
Hey, George Bush doesn't like black people.
But he didn't care. And let's not pretend that's what Kanye said.
And we'll go to our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for holding.
Oh, hello?
Hello, that's you.
Oh, this is Words. I like the word died rather than passed, and it seems adequate. And the other one was the Republicans use of make this law permanent. Do any of us know of any law that's permanent? Even the Constitution has been changed.
I know one permanent law.
What's that?
This is to add some levity, so don't get upset. The law of gravity.
Well,
what goes up comes down.
How to interpret the word gravity. Or nobody even right knows what gravity is.
Well, let's be serious, and that's grave, and that's gravity.
Gravity. Okay.
No, but thank you. That was a good one. Make that law permanent.
Yeah, right.
That's scary, isn't it, though?
It's very scary.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's a good one. But, you know, with regard to died and passed, you know, for many of us, we feel that it's like just passing to another state. So, you know, that's why it's passed instead of just died.
Died.
I mean, they both seem kind of terminal, but one has a little bit more of a transitory connotation to it.
But when you're dead, you're dead.
Well, at least as far as we know.
Well,
yeah. Ain't nobody came back and told me that I was sure it was the person, you know.
Well.
Okay, see what I'm saying? You're listening to More Talk Radio with Cecil Celeste here on Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. If you want to join in the conversation, we have roughly 17 more minutes and opportunity to converse with you at 503-231-8187, and we're talking about issues, events, people, places, things of 2005 that you want to note. Good morning. You're on the air.
Well, hey, good morning, Cecil. Good morning, Celeste.
Good morning.
Hey, so I'd been thinking about it, and it's like, who really stood out in my mind that was really doing things for the country this past year? And you know who I think it is? I think it's the civil servants. You know,
at which level, local or all the way?
Well, certain national ones.
National? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Come on.
And you know what? When you get to be a civil servant, just like when you join the service, the military service, you get to raise your right hand and swear an oath of allegiance to protect the Constitution from all
evildoers,
foreign and domestic. And you know, I'm just really impressed with a lot of like the congressional GAO, General Accountability Office, who comes out time and time and time and time again and sets the record straight on what is going wrong with the Bush administration stuff. Then you have people like Joe Wilson, who really has taken the fascists to task in the White House, and then of course that federal prosecutor Fitzpatrick for what he's been doing as far as the same thing. So I guess, you know, at a time when really all three branches of the government have let us down, the judiciary, the legislative, and certainly the executive, the one people that I feel, you know, a little bit of pride with in our government are the civil servants, the GS ones through GS-14s that hopefully some of them are, you know, come home and sit around the kitchen table and talk to their family and hear the same scuttlebutt and the same the same things that were happening, and they're not poisoned by this this notion of elitism and power. And I just really am appreciative to the people that are doing their job.
Well, thank you for the call and for the notation. You know, it is hard in this administration to step up to the plate and make the announcements that news is as it really is instead of putting a spin on it, because we've heard how our executive leader has basically been a very difficult person to work with, and don't bring him no bad news, to quote a line out of The Wiz.
Right.
You know, and so those who are able to stand and deliver in the face of this adversity, yeah, we do want to say, yeah, thank you very much.
Well, and as the caller mentioned, in terms of the oath that those who are civil servants take to defend the Constitution, one thing that I think that I want to, that did not die in 2006, but is on life support system, I think, is the U.S. Constitution and the
Well, hopefully we can breathe a little life in it. We need some radical CPR.
We do.
Citizen protest and revolution. Yeah, that's my idea of CPR.
I love that.
Yeah, that's what we need. You know, you're listening to More Talk Radio, and, you know, we got a little ebb and flow here in the call, so I'm going to take advantage of this for a moment and just to talk about a couple of other things out of 2005 that you might want to consider. This comes from Diversity Inc., and the African-American critics wanted to honor a film that I've heard a lot of people talk about, and it's sitting in my house with a stack of others to be watched. It's called Crash. Have you seen Crash?
I have not.
Oh, you have not seen it yet? It's a Los Angeles ensemble drama about the prejudices of intersecting characters, and it's been selected as the top film of the year by the African American Film Critics Association. There were other films that also picked it up for this year: Good Night, Good Luck, Brokeback Mountain, Walk the Line, Hustle and Flow, Capote, Batman Begins. Okay, well, it was good. You know, I like the way it was done. I also put in the category of escapism and fun.
Okay.
So it's not like I looked at it as high drama, but it was still well done. The Constant Gardener, Syriana, which I can't wait to see. I'm looking forward to that. I hope it is as good as it's been billed. And North County. Films that they selected boldly reflect a bridge toward tolerance. And this is according to the African American Film Critics Association President Gil Robertson the Fourth. So,
well, you know, I can't comment. I haven't seen any of those films. But
they're all. I have only made it to see a few movies, and I think the reason why is I've seen Batman is because I took some youngsters to see it, because that's what I do in my so-called spare time.
We need not apologize for
I'm not apologizing. I'm lamenting.
I'm lamenting.
Yeah, it's a difference. It's like, man, I wished I had some real free time, because I would catch these movies instead of waiting till things turn into DVDs.
But, you know, one thing mentioned in terms of significance and events in 2005, and I think what is the organization? I wonder if one of the organization named them as the Grinch of the Year.
Walmart.
Walmart.
You want me to read that one? Because this was funny.
I finally happened seeing. I did see the Walmart film, a bit of the Walmart film that was used as an organizing principle, and I did see the front line episode last week, and you, I see you came across with a.
Well, this is a little different. This is one that was circulating on my email chains with some of my friends, and it's a story about Walmart and some apparent racism and how they treat people and categorize folks. Profiling, I guess, is what we want to just call it. A roofing company had issued a formal complaint against Walmart after an employee was subjected to apparent racism at one of the franchises. This happened in Tampa. A man who was accused of trying to pass a bad check was given thousands of dollars in holiday gift cards for his company's employees. And the employees at a Walmart supercenter called the deputies to apprehend this man, Reginald Pitts, after he handed over a $13,600 check to pay for a bunch of gift cards that were to be given to employees at the GAF Metals Corporation, a roofing materials manufacturer where this Mr. Pitts was the human resource manager. The company had a $1.6 billion revenue last year, had been spending about $50,000 a year on Walmart gift cards, and never had a problem when it sent this other employee, who was a white female administrator, to buy the gift cards. This particular time, though, Mr. Pitts walked in and gave them the check, and they stalled him for about 2 hours while he waited to pick them up. Then he was very calm and told him, here's my ID card, here's my business card, here's my driver's license, here's 2 toll-free numbers to the bank that handles our account, and you can talk to my accounting supervisor. Then 2 Hillsborough County deputies appeared, grabbed Pitts by the arm, and said, we need to talk to you about this forged check that you brought in here. Because apparently Walmart had called in and said, this man has a stolen check, a forged check, a phony check. And they filed charges against him. And it's really funny because the more things change, the more they stay the same. And this is out of our so-called American retailer. And you remember when Walmart used to say everything in Walmart is American made, and they tried to drum up all this patriotic fervor about supporting them. If you go in there, you'll find that it's made all over the world, and this stuff is not necessarily made in the United States. And that gave you a real chill, because then you realize that they weren't supporting our economy, as they said. They weren't supporting union work. They were basically supporting, if anything, a lot of sweatshops all over the world, not just here, not just there, everywhere.
Well, I think the anti-globalization movement, the anti-corporate movement, has targeted Walmart as the largest employee in the world, because they symbolize much that is wrong with the way corporations operate. We'll see what happens in 2006. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. We're doing a review with you of 2005 and a look at 2006. And we'll go to the next caller. Good morning.
Yes. I just want to say that one of the most notable things that struck me about last year is the fact that poor people, oppressed people and everything didn't riot, didn't become more obstinate than they were. I mean, you mentioned Sidney Sheehan. I mean, that's okay. I mean, she did her part. But I remember that when George Bush the first, one of the things that happened during his presidency is there was major riots in cities. Matter of fact, it was so bad that I think Clinton went there himself to talk to the people. And so you guys have to realize that, you know, when you mentioned that there's some disappointments because the Democrats are silent. First of all, I don't believe in representative government. I don't believe that there's some group of people out there that's going to represent me. I feel that I have to go on out there and do something for myself. And I figured that part of the problem, part of the illusion in America, is that somehow we done all bought into this representative thing. These people are not going to represent you. They're not there for you. They have never been there for you. So if we're sitting back waiting for the Democrats to do something, then, you know, you're just holding your breath. The reason that Bush and his cohorts can do what they feel like they can do, because they know that we ain't going to do nothing but talk. They already know that. Talk is cheap. They know that we're going to send our cousins, our children, our great-grandchildren. They're going to get up and they're going to go fight their wars. They're going to participate in this madness. This thing exists because we participate. Once we quit participating in this, it'll fall apart. That's all you have to do. I'm still waiting for you guys to go to, you talk about the media don't represent us. Well, I haven't seen anybody with signs standing in front of any major media outlet protesting the fact that they don't give us the straight scoop. I have not seen that. I haven't seen anything except, you know, what y'all do. And first of all, one last thing, and I'm getting out of here. I have to always go back to slavery because that's where my examples come from to defeat a system that ain't right. The slave master is nothing without his slaves. You guys have to understand that Bush ain't nothing without his subjects. Once you guys decide to quit being subjects, you can change things. Thank you.
And thank you. Thank you for your call. Let me say a couple of things. There are a number of organizations that are actively challenging corporate media here in town and nationally. Uh-huh. If you send us a note here at the station, I can give you the address and contact numbers. A couple other things occur to me, but I
you know, you piqued my curiosity, that look on your face.
Well,
in the interest of building bridges, huh?
In the interest of building bridges.
Okay.
Hey, we do have some more calls here online.
And we got just a little bit of time, so you had to be really quick. Good morning.
Good morning. I want to thank Brother Mike for his eloquent statement of reality, and I want to encourage him to keep it up. He is dead on right, but I want to say in Oregon this year, by kicking those people, well, first of all, let's talk about the slave. You know, when you have somebody that's going to be your slave, the first thing you got is somebody that can't get away, somebody you have under your control, somebody that if he wants to move, you give him permission, right? That's the slave. Well, this year in Oregon, we finally got some of that cut through when the DMV, the Oregon Department of Transportation, finally admitted for the record, filed with the Secretary of State, that the public can now choose to title their vehicles and get pulled over by the man and get traffic tickets if they choose. If they paid to get signed up, and basically they admitted that throughout history they have never had the authority to require that. I stopped participating. I turned in my driver license, and I forced them personally to adopt that administrative rule, which now allows the public to choose to join up. Because there can't be involuntary servitude in the states. Problem is, they kept it a secret. But KBU knows. Stevenson, Kathleen Stevenson, all the news people know, and they're going to start putting this stuff out on the radio. And thank you, Mike, for helping me on that. And that's it.
Thanks for your call.
All right.
Hey, have a great day. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Let me remind you that you have been listening to More Talk Radio. We have been reviewing 2005, The Persons, Places, Person, Places, and Events of Significance. Looking forward to 2006.
Yes, indeed. And we want to suggest that that we all kind of take a moment, recap for ourselves what our personal highlights were of 2005 and use that information, that material, to build one more step up and onward in your personal quest and your personal visions.
One thing that I learned or heard this morning that I think we ought to share with one another is the importance of community. We heard how one person can influence another person and build community. We are all part of a larger whole, and we all can make a difference. So as this year begins to unfold, let us not lose courage or the dedication to build community together and to work for a transformation of our society.
Absolutely. And this has been More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste. Stay tuned for the rest of our programming from the Old Mole Variety Hour, Earth Watch, Health Watch, and Free Speech Radio. This is your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, and we will hear you next week.